May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, I've been torn about whether to give you a normal word or share a testimony with you. I think I'm going to give you a little testimony because it says the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus. And when we share a testimony about what God's done in our life, it builds faith in our own lives. That's important for me in this context because one of the things that the Lord is really impassioned me with again is when we began to see God move in very demonstrative ways at this Eucharist was about 4 years ago. And what had happened was is that for some time before that I'd been teaching a lot about what the church has always believed about Eucharist. And there's it's not like we have no early church writings. We have thousands and thousands of volumes of early church writings, and some of them were people who were discipled by the apostles. And they pretty much all said the same thing about communion, the centerpiece of God's worship, God's people. This thing in the last 500 years, when it's not, is a real aberration. It's a real unusual kind of a thing. Eucharist can be an argument and all that kind of stuff, I understand. But what put in my heart, if you go back and you read in 1 Corinthians, and it talks about because you don't discern the body well, because you don't really discern what's going on in the communion service, some of you are weak, some of you are sick, and some of you die premature deaths. Now, it says what it says. We can't dummy it down and make it say something else to fit our theology. It's just better to let the Bible speak for itself. And so I have a real pastoral passion for that, and that passion was to, Lord, I want to understand better what this is all about, and I want to communicate it to the clergy that are under my authority, because if this is true, and if they get it, and I get it, and we communicate it better, then we'll have less people in our church who are struggling with different areas of weaknesses in our life. It's just one of those supernatural gifts God gave us, one of the divine weapons to fight the good fight. And people won't be as sick and yada yada. It's real practical. It's very charismatic to me. It ain't got nothing to do with being Catholic. And it's about scriptural and being charismatic. And so I began to teach a lot about it, and when I do retreats, I would teach about it. And we've been doing this noon service for years. And most of the time we'd have three or four people, sometimes just the priest. And God really spoke to my heart about May, 4 years ago, that anytime I was in town, I should be here. Because he just called me what I was, a hypocrite. He said, you're going to lunch every day while that bell rings, and you're telling everybody about how important this is, and you don't act like it is. And then I came under conviction and started coming, and then I was just crying out to God. I said, okay, Lord, back up your act. You know, if this is what I'm going to be teaching, I believe, back your act up, Lord. And for 4 months, we didn't really see anything happen, and then in September, we had a breakthrough. God usually tests your heart to see how tenacious, how intentional you're going to be. God honors persevering faith. And about September, 4 years ago, we began to see Craig got healed after 7 years, and then stuff just began to happen. We got the Holy Spirit opportunity to move. And so I've always believed that Eucharist is the most charismatic thing I do because I believe bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus. I can't explain it, don't have to. I was telling this little story last night. I love this story. So those of you who were here last night, this is the last part. We finished up after 3 years preaching, teaching through the Gospel of John. And it says this. It says, Peter was asking, after Jesus told Peter about his future, he looked at John and said, well, what about this man? And Jesus said, well, don't worry about him. If I want him to live until I come back again, what business is that of yours? You just follow me. And then I love this about the early church. This saying therefore went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. Talking about John. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until now, until I come again, what is that to you? And so this is put in here because John was going to die at some point. He was 95, 96 years old when he did on the Isle of Patmos. And so John wrote this. This is the last thing he wrote at 95. He discerned in his own heart he was going to die, physical death, and he didn't want people to be confused. But here's the thing that ministers to me. All these weird people believe that. I mean, their worldview was such that if that's what Jesus said, John would live to be 2,000 years old if necessary until Jesus came back again. That's charismatic. You with me? They believed that. And Jesus, of course, could have done that. But they believed that he could do that. So I don't have any problem at all with bread and wine becoming body and blood of Jesus. The early church didn't either, because they believed stuff like this. This is much crazier than that. And so I just assume that anytime Jesus manifests himself in some tangible way, we should see more signs and wonders than ever, right? That's what it says in Corinthians. And so I'd expect more and more, as your expectation grows, that even before anybody prays for you, as Jesus touches you and you touch him, you're going to get healed and set free. That's a very Jewish understanding of reality. Transrational things, you believe. And so I'm going to give you this testimony. That was just a preliminary. This testimony is real short. Just to encourage you that in this context, we've seen so many healings, but I believe that we should see more miracles and signs here than at any other time, because Jesus is present to us, however way you want to explain to us, in an unusual way in the Eucharist. And he said, if you discern it right, you shouldn't be a sick or weak or die premature death. I led an Archbishop's Council meeting this weekend, or beginning Sunday night, in Petrie City, Georgia. Coming into that, I had felt for about 2 weeks that my life was just draining out of me. So I'm just reasoning through all that. I'm just getting older, you know, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know how to explain to you, and I have time, how I felt. It was terrible. And then Sunday night, I began to get a toothache back here in the bottom, and it was a definite toothache. It was under the tooth. It was throbbing. When I drink water or eat anything, it would worse. So I thought I've either got a cut, a broken tooth or bad cavity. And I'm about to start this meeting, and Monday it just got worse and worse. Somebody prayed for me Monday night, but I had no relief. And so on Monday, it got worse and worse. And Mondays we fast and pray. That's what we do for our province, just to seek God and see what he wants to do. And my part of my role is to stir everybody up to keep going for fullness, keep going for it. And so in the middle of our prayer time, the Lord said, Chuck, it's demonic. A lot of the things that you're doing, what you're called to do, and what you're going, this is just an attack. And it was a spirit of death. And so I just said, brothers, I need you to pray for me. I just said, the life is just draining out of me in so many arenas, in my physical body and other ways. I said, I need you to pray for me. Toothache was just the last nuisance. And it was getting worse and worse. And so they prayed for me for about 5 minutes. And I was so blessed by that. And then later that day, I went back and I woke up on Tuesday. But I'd already lined up a dentist appointment for Wednesday. I cut my time there. I actually cut the meetings a day short, because if it was something I had to get done, I wanted to get it done before the weekend. And I hate going to the dentist. I'd rather have brain surgery than go to the dentist. I would hate to be a dentist, because everybody hates you. I don't care how nice you are. It's awful. And so I go. But Tuesday, I noticed that there was like life in me. So I knew something had happened. And I noticed that my tooth, which had gotten pretty bad on Monday, there was no pain. But I kept paying attention. And I wanted to make sure before I shared anything. So I came home on Wednesday. And Wednesday, I woke up yesterday just feeling really awesome. Went to the dentist. And he took an x-ray and knocked around my tooth, and he said, your tooth is absolutely perfect. And he said, well, maybe you like got something stuck in there. Well, trust me, I didn't. I'm very neurotic. I checked everything when I was hurting. And he said, I said, you know, I think maybe I just got healed. He said, you know, I think maybe you just got healed. And I was able to write, but here's the most important thing to me. I was able to write my brothers and say, I just want to encourage you guys to keep going for it. Because you prayed for your archbishop, and God lifted off a spirit of death off of him, and my tooth was supernaturally healed. And it blew the dentist away, actually. I'm not going to tell you who it was. But I did tell him, this is the best dentist appointment I've ever had. I said, because I would pay you not to mess around with my mouth and teeth, because you hurt every time. I don't care what you say, it hurts. But I wanted to give that as a word of testimony in this context again, was because we're here to serve you the body and the blood of Jesus. And I believe that. And I thank God for what he does and prophetic words and all those things. But I just would encourage you to expect, as you come and receive the body and the blood of Christ, this is what we began talking about 4 years ago, that in some way, I can't explain it, that Jesus is here in some physical way in the Eucharist. He comes to us somehow in bread and wine. If they could believe man could live several thousand years till Jesus came again, we can believe that. It's not Catholic. It's charismatic. And so I just pray you'd be a charismatic and come expecting Jesus to touch you and heal you. Amen? Amen. May the testimony of Jesus be a prophetic word to you. There's some of you who are having spirits of depression in your life and other things, and God just wants to set you free. He can do it in a moment. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.